time to be a winner.
I have come here to chew bubble gums and kick ass.
Pick this week's games against the spread for all the bragging rights.
You want some bad enough, then you come get some.
Feeling extra confident?
I'm the one true king.
Make that game your top shelf for double points. This is Pick Six, now on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Fourth and final hour here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's had a good day to this point. Chase, there's some news on the NFL side, and it is...
Adam Schefter has reported that the Los Angeles Chargers and restricted free agent running back Austin Eckler have reached an agreement on a four-year, $24.5 million deal that includes $15 million guaranteed, sources tell ESPN. He's 24 years old. Got him a new deal.
What are they doing with Gordon?
I don't know. Kind of think he...
I don't think he won this whole holdout, did he?
No, I think that ended poorly for him. Kind of think he really, let him walk.
Unless Ezekiel Elliott is the only one who's really won, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Bell got paid, but not...
But he missed a year, though.
But he missed a year, so he missed some money there. And I don't know if he necessarily got paid. He may have could have gotten paid a little more. But, yeah, I would say Zeke's the only one that's really pulled that off.
It is interesting. Okay. It is pick six time. Let's review last week's picks.
Let's do it. Come on.
Right. I know Chase is excited. Chase had a pretty good week. Two of the three of you guys had pretty good weeks, and one not so much.
Seems
so.
To be a theme.
One did not.
We'll jump into this. Commish. TSU and Belmont. Belmont favored by 7.5. Belmont won by 7. Mm. Bad beat City for one. Willie Donick, who picked Belmont. Darren and Chase going with TSU, and by half a point, they are winners.
Cover.
In the second game, UK favored by 5.5 over Auburn, ended up winning by 7, if I'm correct.
Yes.
And the three of you all chose Kentucky, so congratulations there.
Hey, good job, Willie.
Willie, take a lap. and the third, does Nashville SC score in their inaugural game?
Of course. Hello.
Everyone is saying, of course, except Willie.
Oh.
Willie said no. Darren and Chase, top shelf to 2 points for you two fellas.
So let's see. I'm at 4. You're at 4.
What was I thinking?
You're at 1.
Oh, the soccer ones really got Willie. That was he really went for broke on that one. Number 3, in the Preds' 3 games, who has the higher point total between these two pairs? Is it the Swedes of Forsberg and Arvidsson, or the Canadian combination of Johansson and Duchesne? Only one chose the Canadian combination of Duchesne and Johansson,
oh,
and that,
that
was
would
Willie.
Be me.
William,
that
your would
be so me. For picking up on the theme here, I think we can all guess who won this one. That was the option A of the Swedes, which Darren and Chase selected. And then back to Nashville SC. Are they going to A, win or draw, or B, lose?
Lose. They're going to lose.
Willie said they would not score, but they would tie.
Oh,
so he was
boy.
Banking on that 0-0 tie. Well, that went out the window in the first 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And even if they won, I would have still got a point. I wouldn't have won my other one, but
yeah.
I would have got a point.
You would at least got a point.
That didn't
for it.
Happen either.
No. And that was a tough beat as well. Willie was the only one. Or no, he was not. No, Chase was also feeling a Nashville SC victory. Darren took the...
What did I take?
Took Atlanta.
Yeah.
The win outright. Yeah. And as we know, Atlanta United.
Put it on the board.
One outright. 2-1. And then lastly, the wild card, number 6. Which opponent is scoring more goals against the Preds?
Ew.
Is it Nathan McKinnon, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, or the wild card option of D, no one scoring a goal, and then the D option being worth 2 points? Well, let's see.
What did
Willie
I
looked,
do?
Looked
Willie
good
pulled
over Saturday.
Up, I do. Pulled up, shot from deep, and so did Darren,
yep.
And taking D.
Air
well,
ball.
After I, Saturday, I'm like, yeah, all right,
Saturday,
McKinnon, no goals.
McKinnon not even close to a goal. And, well, when they played the Oilers,
yeah,
that's
would.
All Leon Draisaitl did was score goals. Yeah. However, he had 4 goals and 1 assist. Connor McDavid, 1 goal
four
and
assists.
4 assists.
Yeah.
So, but none of you took, oh, well, Chase is the only one who took McDavid. only we didn't take D, so Chase gets the point. And this is where things get really interesting after doing the math. Darren's still holding a lead, a larger lead, at 120. We have a tie for second as Willie and Chase are now locked dead even at 107. So we have a battle for silver going on currently until we reach the final four and the end of pick six. And that
I hear Max laughing back there.
Elijah, would you like to be the commissioner? Since I have taken over the commissioner's role, let me just say, though, that the
Darren
the
was
overall,
ready to end this competition.
The overall, been... no, I'm not even going to say that. I'm just going to say that the overall level of the questions, the intrigue of questions one through six in pick six has been fantastic. The problem is it's been so intriguing that I can't get the answers to any of the questions.
He's thinking too hard to the answers for his own questions.
I'm overthinking my own answers to the questions. I'm putting a lot of great thought into the questions.
Later on today, I'm going to have to make a phone call to somebody that we all know and let them know of this development, because I would love to hear their thoughts on this. I think it could be entertaining. So I'll be calling somebody later. And you know, you guys know who I'm talking about. Willie, go ahead.
Well, what have made those questions so intriguing?
I just think there's been fantastic questions.
Wasn't going on before. Like you just started.
I didn't say that.
Creating these outside the box questions.
I didn't say that.
Okay, I was just wondering.
I just said that the questions since I took over
have been outside
compelling.
The box questions for years.
Very compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cutting edge.
Cutting edge.
There we go. Yeah. Cutting edge.
Cutting edge.
Elijah, let's review this week's games and make our picks.
Number one.
All right. The OVC, we're down to the semifinals. Mm-hmm. This is how we have to do this. You have to choose the winner of the tournament, but you get the pairs. Murray State and Austin Peay is choice A. Choice B is Belmont and Eastern Kentucky. Which side ends up with the champion? How much faith do you have in the Bruins, along with the Colonels from Eastern Kentucky? Did you know that one, Chase?
No.
I did not.
No.
He didn't know the Colonels. Or do you want the traditional powerhouses, the longtime participants in this game, Murray or the Govs?
Can you tell us what city in Kentucky that Eastern Kentucky resides?
It's to the east.
And that would be the city of?
Wow. It's the eastern part of the state.
Yeah, but that's what the city is. The question was what city is it in?
Yeah,
it's the eastern. I don't know.
Yeah,
Katy's.
Katy's, Kentucky is the guess. I'm impressed that you pulled out Katy's.
That was a better answer than Crest. With this school is also a toothpaste.
A toothpaste. Crest!
Not Colgate. Crest.
More educated of a guess.
Yeah. That was a better guess. But
it is Richmond, Kentucky.
Richmond, Kentucky. Yeah.
Not Virginia.
Not Richmond, Virginia. No.
All right. Who wants to go first?
So you're picking a side of the bracket.
Right.
Okay. I will take the Belmont side.
Okay, so you're going, what is that, A, B? Is that
right? That's choice B. I, too, will take choice B. I will take Belmont. I will take that horse.
I'll go A.
Number two.
So you're taking Murrah.
Yep. And P.
Or, yeah.
All right, the Atlantic Sun Final. Lipscomb against Liberty. Rematch. Liberty won the game at Lipscomb last year in a thriller. Remember, it was down to the wire. It was a great game. Liberty had a fantastic performance. This time the game is at Liberty. Home court advantage. And even though Lipscomb beat Liberty last week, Liberty is a 14.5-point favorite.
14.5-point favorite?
Holy moly.
Game for the title.
I'll take the points.
You'll take the points.
I'll take Lipscomb.
Yeah. Give me the points.
The Bisons.
Plus 14 and a half?
14 and a half.
All right, we're both taking the points. What are you doing?
I got to take the points. I'm not going to go against you. I'm going to go the other way from you guys again because I did that last week and I...
Number three.
Rematch. Tennessee hosting Auburn. Tennessee is a 1.5-point favorite.
At TBA?
Hmm?
Thompson Bowling?
Yeah.
Yes.
TBA? You know what? I don't trust Auburn anymore. Give me the Vols. Auburn's had some weird losses.
Tell you what, though. Bruce Pearl has owned Tennessee since he left.
It is. I'm telling you, there's something there.
I got to say the letdown, right? You come in, you beat Kentucky at Rupp. Everybody's feeling great. And then it's the letdown game. I'm going to have to take Auburn. Did you say they're favored or they're getting? Auburn plus 1.5?
Yep.
Auburn plus 1.5.
Yeah, I'll take the points.
You'll take the points.
Yep.
I believe Tennessee's on a roll here. I'll take Tennessee.
Okay.
Number four.
Will the Titans tag with the franchise tag? Now, let's put the transition tag aside just for to keep it simple. The franchise tag. Will they tag Derrick Henry? That's choice A. Choice B, somebody else. We know who the candidates are. Or C, for 2 points, they will not use the franchise tag. March 10th is when we know one way or the other.
Now, you are saying the franchise tag, the transition tag.
That is
tag,
what I'm saying.
The transition tag is another thing.
That doesn't count. You could go for two
so
by saying they
Henry.
Won't use the tag, the franchise tag. That's for 2 points.
Ooh. This has to be done by Tuesday?
March 10th. That is the deadline. That's the last day that you can
Tuesday afternoon?
Tag. Yeah. So we'll know. I will say that they will tag Henry. They're going to have to.
I'm going to go with, tag Henry.
We discussed all these possibilities. They could reach a deal with, let's just say, for argument's sake, they could reach a deal with Henry and therefore then have the option of using the tag on Conklin, Tannehill, et cetera. So that all these possibilities are out there.
I'll say A, Henry.
Number five.
The Predators and Stars have played 3 different times. The scores have been 4-1, 4-2, and 2-0. The Stars tend to play lower scoring games. In the rematch on Saturday, over or under 5.5 goals scored in the game, combined by the two teams?
Under.
Under. Okay.
Under.
I'll go over.
Number six.
All right, let's play the game again of which I'm going to go with a trio this time. Which trio will end up with more points? Duchesne, Forsberg, Granlund. That's choice A. They were a line. I don't know if they'll stay with the same line. I think there's a good chance they will. Or 3D. Josi, Ellis, Ekholm.
Ooh, I mean.
Points, not goals.
Since we've had a show, a 3D show, I mean, you got to go 3D, man. We've had a 3D show. You got to stick with 3D. Remember somebody wanted to name it 3D? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
They told me to change my name to Doug.
So most points on Saturday.
Oh, so that's a good one.
Who's 3D again?
The 3D.
It was you, Derek, Willie.
Josi, Ellis, Ekholm.
Hmm. I will go. I'll go A. I'm going to go A.
I'm going to go 3D.
I'm going to go A.
Duchesne, that group, they looked like they had signs of life. Of course, both of the goals were on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, all three of those players are involved in the power play.
I think that could have kickstarted something. So I'll go
A. That's pretty interesting. I will go B.
All right, what's your top shelf?
Top shelf.
Mine's Lipscomb.
I'll go Derrick Henry gets the franchise tag. Top shelf.
There you go.
I, too, will go Lipscomb top shelf. Okay. This is what we've got on the line for this week's Pick 6 winner. Alice Cooper, Tesla, and special guest Lita Ford at Ascend Amphitheater on June 9th. Alice Cooper, Tesla, Lita Ford at Ascend Amphitheater, June 9th. That's what's on the line for the Pick 6 winner. 747-6220. That's 615-747-6220. We'll come back, get you locked into the contest next. Pick six time. This week's prize, Alice Cooper, Tesla, and Lita Ford at Ascend Amphitheater, June 9th, 747-6220, 747-6220 is how you get locked in this week. If you do call in, you get two top shelf picks. If you're unable to call in and get locked in, you can go to GameNashville.com and participate that away. Let's go to Joe. Joe, you're first up. Welcome in.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
All right, let's make you a winner. Question number one, who wins the OVC? You can pick A, Murray State or Austin Peay, or B, Belmont or Eastern Kentucky.
Quick question, who's the one seed, Murray State or Belmont?
Murray State.
I think Murray.
Murray State is? All right, let's go B.
All right. The A-Sun final, Lipscomb versus Liberty. Liberty minus 14.5.
Dave Lipscomb.
Question three. Tennessee minus 1.5 versus Auburn.
Tennessee.
Need the game total on that one as well.
All right. It is 147.
All right. Will the Tennessee Titans use the franchise tag on A, Derrick Henry, B, somebody else, or C, for 2 points, nobody?
A, Derrick Henry.
The Preds versus the Stars, over, under 5.5 goals.
By the way, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I misspoke, Joe. Is that when I said it, I was like, let me check on it. Belmont's the one seed. My bad. Ooh. Murray's the two seed.
Belmont?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fine. I'm going to go Belmont anyway. Thank you, though. You said Preds over, or Preds Dallas over or under 5.5 points total?
5.5 goals, yep.
5.5 goals. Let's go under.
Most points on Saturday, the group A, Duchesne, Forsberg, Granlin, or group B, Yossi, Ellis, Ekholm?
A.
All right, two top shelves.
First top shelf, Tennessee. Second top shelf, David Lipscomb.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Good luck.
All right. Thank y'all. Yeah, have a good weekend.
You too. 747-6220. 615-747-6220 is how you can get locked in to this contest. I am surprised the Lipscomb line is 14.5.
Yeah, that's why I'm all over that.
I mean, I knew they were going to be underdogs. I mean, don't get me wrong. And that game is when?
That should be Sunday. I know the A-Sun usually...
Oh, that's not till Sunday.
Yeah, the A-Sun usually play their early tournament games like during the week and then hold off till Sunday at like noon to play it.
Okay, they don't have a line on that. I realize Liberty went 29-4, 13-3 in the A-Sun. Lipscomb, what a run. They're just barely over 500.
Oh, and they've played some of their best basketballs of late. I want to say Hassan Asajula in the semifinal game dropped 40 points and like 14 rebounds. He's been a man possessed.
They have won, what, 8 of 9? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
8 of 9. Their only loss is North Florida.
And North Florida's a pretty good team in that conference. They're usually one of the top dogs year in, year out in the A-Sun.
And then they got revenge and beat, obviously, with North Florida in the last game.
On the road.
Yeah. On the road by a bucket.
Lenny Acuff has done a good job.
Yeah.
Taking over. I mean, you know, it's they lost a lot. Obviously, Casey Alexander leaves to go to Belmont. So, but he comes in and got a chance here.
Well, they lost a lot of games, you know, early on. Mm-hmm. And they've really, second half of the season, they have turned things around for sure. There was, I know they went through a patch where they lost, I think, 6 of 8. But here of late, they've gotten their stuff together. I'm not sure they can win this game, but 14.5, man, in a championship game to
I'd
get
be stunned
dusted,
if they get blown out.
Right, just get dusted in a championship game? I'd be disappointed if they got dusted in a championship game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that line might get a little funny late because of free throws. Even if it's 14.5, Liberty's got some. They can pull away from teams awfully quick, but Liberty's played down to a lot of teams in the A-Sun this year as well. They don't score a ton of points either, and that's another thing, too. Richie McKay's teams aren't known for necessarily scoring 75, 80. He's a Tony Bennett disciple.
No, you're right. I mean, if you really look at their games, I mean, they've won games. They've scored 55 in one. 50s and 60s pretty much is what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really 50s. I mean, there's been a few, but I mean, mostly 60s, maybe low 70s, but still in college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And to be a 14.5-point, like you said, yeah, that's interesting.
It would take a bad, bad shooting game from Lipscomb to kind of get to that number two, or to get beat by worse than 14.5, just because the possessions are going to be rather limited.
They beat Lipscomb 67-60 earlier in the conference play, and then we know Lipscomb got them 77-71 here recently. So this will be the third matchup. But, I mean, both games have been decided by 6 and 7. I don't know.
Real quick, to kind of add to good things to end the week on, the NASCAR Cup Series, they're at Phoenix this weekend, wrapping up NASCAR Goes West. Ryan Newman is at the racetrack.
Oh, wow.
This weekend, visiting. So he is in the garage area. Very, very cool to see.
Very cool. We will come back and talk a little pucks with Greg Wyshynski, covers the sport at ESPN. We'll do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go for the Predators down in Dallas tomorrow, starting a 5-game road trip. Shut out the Stars last night here, 2-0. This is the time of year where you scoreboard watch, you root for regulation games, and you check the standings because things change in a hurry. Greg Wyshynski covers the league for ESPN. ESPN.com is on the line with us. Greg, how you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Just wanted to obviously first say that everybody outside here on the West Coast is thinking about you guys and happy that it sounds like everybody is safe out there. So horrific stuff, and it was inspiring to see the NHL kind of rally to the cause with a bunch of Central Division teams who, in theory, should hate you guys, raising a ton of dough. To help out the relief efforts this week.
Yeah, we've actually talked about that. That's the beauty of sports, right? You get to make fun and poke at your rivals, and the fan bases get to go back and forth, and yet when it's, you know, it's time for somebody's in, you know, in trouble or in need, then you step up. And so that's what's cool about sports. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, the hockey's been pretty good with that. I mean, whether it was the situation in Vegas a few years ago with the shooting, or, you know, any number of different situations, it's great. And it's also great to see, again, like these teams leveraging their influence over their fans and sponsors and everybody else to try to, you know, funnel that money into a good cause now and again when they're not being snarky to each other.
Exactly. We had David Poile on earlier, who's back from the general manager meetings and down in Boca Raton. And Wanted to ask you, with Seattle lurking around the corner, I know you've been having fun with the names and everything. Do you think this is going to be the playoff format? We talked about that with David. It's a mixed bag because, like, here we complain about the travel, and this has helped with the travel, but then you complain about the opponents are too tough. So it's just a constant complaint. I don't know what the right format is, you know, go back to 1-8 or what you think. I guess that's what I'm asking. What do you think is the right way to do the playoff format, and where do you think it'll be, I guess, 5-10 years from now?
That's a great question. Actually, I have a piece on this coming out next week on ESPN. I've been reporting it out for the last few months, and I'll have to go back and check to see what David said about it on your show. Two things. First off, the current playoff format, I'm not a fan of it because I think they broke something that didn't – I mean, if they tried to fix something that wasn't broken. The 1-8 format was great. I thought it was equitable. The only reason they did this new format was to try to gin up as many rivalry series as they could in the first round when they know that the interest and the viewership is at its peak. So, you know, try to get those geographic rivals playing in series. And I mean, it's worked. I mean, you've gotten some really good, interesting Toronto-Boston series and Caps and Pens and things like that. But the 1-8 was completely equitable. The whole ball game right now when it comes to the NHL and the playoffs is playoff expansion. Look no further than Major League Baseball. Look no further than the NBA. They are all – those other leagues are talking about expanding their playoff fields. And the fact of the matter is, like you said, when Seattle joins, we're going to be up to 32 teams. We have 16 playoff teams at the moment. I think some people would say, hey, that's equitable, half the league getting in. But I think a lot of people would say, well, maybe you can expand out to play-in series for the 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds, considering how much parity that we have in the league these days. So to me, the whole ball game is going to be playoff expansion. And maybe with that comes a new look at how to seed these teams. But I'll tell you right now, the NHL is staunchly in favor of keeping it as a 16-team primary tournament, even if, you know, there's going to be some window dressing around the outside as far as the teams that end up being the 7 and 8 seeds.
We've unfortunately had to reside to the fact that the top three in the Central probably are not changing. That's in no particular order. It's going to be St. Louis, Colorado, and Dallas, unfortunately. But I'll tell you what, the wild card spots are crazy to see how this is all going to play out down the stretch. I mean, it literally changes every night. And it did. I mean, it changed from the time we left the arena. When I signed off in postgame, the Predators were in as a wild card team. And by, you know, a little bit later, by the time I got home, Minnesota had moved into that wild card spot. How do you think the battle for the last two wild card spots are going to play out in the West?
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I think, like you said, with the top three in the Central spoken for, it really is going to depend on how the Pacific Division shakes out. And you're starting to see a little bit of separation with the Golden Knights and the Oilers from the rest of the pack a little bit. But you know, Calgary, Vancouver, Arizona, all right in that mix. And in Vancouver's case, it's a problem with health. I think they might be one of the better teams in that pack, but you know, until they get Jacob Markstrom, their starting goalie, back from injury, that's going to be problematic. They lost Brock Besser. That's been an impact on them, obviously, as well. So they're a team that I think could be one of those that can nail down the wild card spot or third in their own division. They just need to overcome some adversity health-wise right now. Minnesota's fascinating. That is a team that I think a lot of us counted out once they fired Bruce Boudreau, but they were in town in San Jose last night. I had a chance to speak to a bunch of the players and their coach before the game. And the fascinating thing about them right now is that they've had a discernible uptick in offensive production under Dean Evason, their new head coach, while not sacrificing the defensive game that they had under Bruce Boudreau. And the players have been saying that there's a difference in philosophy between the two coaches, where now they are taking more chances in the offensive zone, encouraged to make mistakes there in a way that they weren't under Boudreau, who I think had this team playing a bit more of a tighter defensive scheme. And you're seeing results. They're having a lot of fun. They're definitely a team that I don't think is going to all of a sudden go into a five-game tailspin. They're going to be in this thing right into the end, which is obviously discouraging news for the Predators.
In that jumbled pack, The Predators still play the Wild two more times. Okay, they still play Arizona. They have a game against Arizona. They still have a game against Winnipeg. And they still have a game against the Blackhawks, which, speaking of, how in the world has that team not faded out of the mix? They're still in that group.
Yeah, them and the Jets are two of the most inexplicable ones. The Jets, just because it just seemed like their goaltender keeps dragging them back to relevance, even as the rest of the team sputters. And in Chicago's case, I mean, it just seems like there are times we can write them off, and then all of a sudden they creep back into it. I think at the end of the day, I lack the confidence in the Blackhawks to actually cross the finish line. But, I mean, the numbers add up that they still have an opportunity. And I do wonder, though, you know, if they're going to end up playing Corey Crawford into the ground at some point. The trade of Robin Lehner to the Vegas Golden Knights means that Malcolm Subban's the backup. I can't imagine they have too much confidence in him, although there's a chance he might get a start against Detroit tonight. We might see a Malcolm Subban versus Jimmy Howard matchup between the Hawks and Red Wings tonight. So that game might end, you know, 21-20 based on how those guys have played. They're an interesting team, but I mean, there are so many teams that are in the mix that I think are better and more consistent than are the Blackhawks, but you have to give them credit for hanging around. Or, you know, to go back to a previous conversation, just give the NHL's current points format and the standings credit for keeping all these teams alive and on life support longer than they probably should be.
Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN, and so sticking with that theme and looking at the Predators, last night Philip Forsberg scores for the first time since January. You had Matt Duchene also score, and oh, by the way, Greg, both of those were on the power play. So some things that the Predators have been working on. What is it in your mind that hasn't worked with some of these top stars that David Poile has paid a lot of money to?
Yeah, it's been inexplicable, and I think in Forsberg's case, I'm part of the camp that thinks that John Hines should be playing this guy more than he has been playing him. Everybody knows that the average ice time has certainly dropped since Hines took over, and I think that Phillip's the kind of guy that can probably play out of his doldrums at 5-on-5 if you give him the opportunity to do so, and restricting his ice time I think is sort of detrimental to that confidence that he needs to build. But last night was the recipe, right? Like, you know, UC Soros gives you a great game. You get goals from two of your big offensive stars. And then, of course, you know, you win the special teams battle. That's the recipe for success. And it's just been really hard for the Predators, for whatever reason, to find a way to repeat that recipe for more than a couple games at a time. And really, it does come down to that, right? Like, we are now in the home stretch of home stretches. And if you can't put together three consistent games on a regular basis going down the stretch, then, I mean, you're just going to be one step forward, two steps back, and it just seems like the Predators have been in that situation for far too long.
It's a weird conversation to have, but we've been having it lately, that Pekka is essentially the backup on this team. UC Saros has had a bulk of the starts as of late. As you mentioned, I mean, he's played well. He had the shutout last night. When Pekka has been called upon outside of Monday against Edmonton, you know, he's looked pretty solid as well, but what are your thoughts on that, as maybe we have seen the changing of the guard here in Nashville?
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like the timing of it shouldn't be too shocking. I mean, when he re-upped, Pekka, I mean, it was pretty obvious that he was re-upping to be the 1 or 1A with Soros, with the idea that this is going to be UC's team at some point in the next couple of years. And so as we reach the end of this season, to have the torch maybe being passed at this point would seem to be kind of the timeline that a lot of us assumed it was going to be on. I think that seeing him have the kind of game that he had on Monday is still shocking, because I think you're right that Pekka does seem at times, when you watch him, to have something left in the tank. But the results haven't been there lately, and then the results have certainly been there lately with Soros, both at home and on the road. So, you know, if you're looking for your path forward, I think you have to play the kid as much as you possibly can down the stretch.
Another thing that was discussed at the GM meetings, the salary cap, and all indications are it looks like it's going to go up for the first time in a couple of years. And I relate that to the Predators, because Roman Josi's contract's going to kick in. You're going to have two unrestricted free agents in Granlund and Smith that David Poile held on to at the trade deadline. So I'm curious of what that means for them. But also with the expansion draft coming here in a couple seasons, what do you make of the salary cap and what certain teams might look at once we get to the summer months?
Yeah, and Granlund's certainly complicating matters by having an incredible season.
Yeah.
and an incredible season under the current head coach, who you know is going to be here for more than one year. The salary cap's a tough one because, to me, you know, a lot depends on whether or not the NHL players evoke what's called the escalator, which is their decision to inflate the cap kind of artificially and create a little bit more room. That decision needs to come a heck of a lot earlier than it did this past season, which is what left a lot of teams in the lurch when all of a sudden the cap was lower than they kind of budgeted and anticipated. I will say this, though, and it's a conversation worth having. As we see more and more events impacted by coronavirus, and including here in San Jose last night where, you know, the county recommended not having mass gatherings of people and then the Sharks go ahead and playing their game and saying they were going to kind of see how things play out for the next few weeks. You wonder whether there's going to be some impact on playoff revenue as more municipalities have to make these decisions, as more people decide not to go and be with, you know, 18,000, 19,000 other potential carriers of the virus. It is a story that's sweeping the sports world. It's definitely impacted hockey and other nations. And I do wonder at the end of the day if revenue projections are going to be affected in the NHL by maybe a lack of hitting targets in the playoffs if this thing really starts to become a problem in other cities.
Didn't even really think about that. That's a really good point. In fact, we just learned yesterday there was a case in Williamson County here in Middle Tennessee. Wow, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, and you have a thing right now where the International Ice Hockey Federation has canceled several tournaments already around the world, world championship tournaments. You have a situation in Switzerland where they played the end of their regular season in empty arenas and then postponed their playoffs for about two or three weeks because the government ruled that you can't have mass gatherings of more than 1,000 people because of the outbreak there. It's really contingent on what local governments do, and obviously it's a team-by-team thing. The NHL, I don't think, is going to mandate anything. But it's definitely something to pay attention to. I mean, it is undeniable that it's impacting a lot of events that bring thousands of people together, including a Comic-Con in Seattle that was just canceled today.
Oh, wow.
So it's a real thing. And you know, Emily Kaplan, my colleague at ESPN, asked the NHL about it, and they are certainly forming contingency plans and things like that. But it's something that could definitely not only impact the way we watch the playoffs, but also impact ultimately the revenue coming in from the playoffs if this thing gets out of hand.
Didn't Italy just announce that they're going to play all their sporting events this month with nobody in attendance? I think they just put that out
there. And naturally, as more of those stories come out, the more jokes you hear about the Ottawa Senators and Florida Panthers home games being preparation for coronavirus.
You went there like you do. Greg, always appreciate the visit. Thanks so much, and we'll talk soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, Greg Wyshynski covers the sport for ESPN and ESPN.com. Back to wrap up Friday's show in the week next. We'd like to thank Dunkin' Donuts on Briley Parkway for providing donuts and coffee for us to deliver to the volunteers and people out there working hard on tornado relief. Dunkin' Donuts has donated coffee and donuts to those in need and helping in the disaster relief. We're proud here at 102.5 The Game to partner up with them. So kudos to them.
Absolutely.
Very nice.
Look, I want to say this. Thanks to everyone that has either reached out and you know, done something monetarily for support, or showed up at the arena last night, dropped stuff off, brought stuff to our station. I mean, we are trying to do our best to help out, and hope that any of you listening out there that were affected, if we were able to help you in some way or able to distract you from everything for a little bit, you know, we hope that we've been able to do that. So I know it's been a rough week for everybody, but as they say, we are Nashville strong, and we'll be better, back and better than ever when this is all said and done.
It's been really nice to have the weather You know, I know it's cold out there today, but at least we've had a lot of sunshine since the travesty, since the devastation early Tuesday morning. And we'll get a little bit more daylight, which will be nice, starting on Sunday. So, yeah, it's been a trying week, a tough week, and our thoughts will continue to be with all you out there that are listening that have been affected and having to deal with a stranger. Marshall Widener, onsite engineer at every Predators home game. He's fantastic at what he does. He's a great guy. He had a buddy who lives in, I think it was in Germantown, in one of the buildings that was affected greatly. His vehicle was totaled in the storm.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard the story. So.
And the complex, or the where he's living, they have until today to get completely out. Not like, you know, grab some stuff. To get completely out. In other words, you need to have everything out. I don't know. I didn't get the details. I don't know if it means they're going to have to, like, demolish it and start over. I don't know. Or they just need to do a lot of work and they need everything out of all the, you know, the living areas so they can fix everything back up. I don't know the details on it, but he had to literally clean out his place with his car being totaled, and he had until today to do it. So I asked Marshall, you know, how's that gone? And he said that luckily that a lot of people, you know, as you would suspect and as we've talked about, a lot of people stepped up and helped him, and he's been able to make it work.
Wow.
A lot of people offering their vehicles and a helping hand. But, yeah, I mean, think about that. You don't ever think about that, right?
No.
Like, you've got till Friday. Get everything you own out. And, oh, by the way, your car's total.
Right. So how do I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, people helping people. That's the Tennessee way. So I know that all of this will continue over the coming days and weeks and months as we, the city, try to rebuild. And we will rebuild. And that's for sure. So I have no doubt in that.
Like I said, we'll be thinking about everybody through the weekend. There'll be a lot of things to discuss with what shakes out. I mean, next week is going to be
a big
sports week for sure.
On the way out, Mike Garofalo was on NFL Now earlier, and he says that the Raiders are interested in Marcus Mariota. Reports they are more likely to go after a veteran 1B backup like Mariota than pursue Tom Brady. Garofalo goes on to say Mike Mayock's number one ranked quarterback. He's the GM of Raiders in 2015. Of course, Mariota will have other options, and the Raiders will explore other quarterbacks, so no guarantee it comes together, but he's in the mix for sure.
Like I said, next week's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Once the tags are done and
then the picture will start taking a little bit of form, and then,
Here we go.
Game on. Have a great weekend. Thank you for all of your help and all your participation and everything we've asked to do. You've been fantastic about it. And please, if anything else comes up where you can offer your services, do so. And we'll continue doing that through this weekend and all through next week and until this is all repaired and people have their lives back and restored. And so we'll keep doing our part as well. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay.